You could take them home, yeah.
That's good.
1 second. We have... No, you didn't get the smaller copies. Okay, we're in the Chumash and... Okay, 9:22. Okay, I just made... Well, I didn't make, Mendel made. This is the, there's one that's much clearer than the other one. This one is the clearer one, okay? This is not, it doesn't, what I was trying to get, and he couldn't get it, I wanted to get a picture of modern-day Israel, I mean, of the Mideast, and show where the boundaries of Israel biblically go into the different countries. But he couldn't find it online. This is what he found online. Anyway, if you see, just to take the one that's a little bit neater, okay, this one, yeah? And just to see, okay, if you look on the right side, you have Menashe, Gad, and Reuven, okay? Now, this black line down the middle is the Yarden River, the Jordan River, because they're on the eastern side of the Yarden, right? Menashe, Gad, and Reuven, right? Reuven and Gad and Chatzi Shev and Menashe. I don't know if this is made to scale. It doesn't make sense that it should be, because Menashe then has a massive part on both sides of Eretz Yisrael.
Yes.
I mean, the green, which is Menashe, is like five times bigger than Reuven. Mm. Now, this one officially goes to scale.
What's wrong with that?
Huh? Yeah, but it doesn't make sense. First of all, Don had a tremendously amount, great amount of people. And if you look, Don was not a big shetach. Okay? Now, today we're going to learn the boundaries of Israel on the east, north, west, and south, okay? But we're going to go through it quickly because the Torah just says where it is. But if you see Eiver HaYarden, 1 second. Eiver HaYarden, okay? Even Don is a part of the, there's a city of Don on the north, which seems is not part of the Chelek of Don. Okay, on the left side of the map is the Mediterranean, okay? That's the boundary, as we'll soon learn, the Gvul of Eretz Yisrael on the west. But if you see the Shvatim, so Eved HaYarden was a pretty big shetach, according to this map, where Menashe, Gad, and Reuven had. And all the other Shvatim, Shimon, Yehuda, Binyamin, was if you see Yerushalayim, is in the Chelek of Binyamin, right, the yellowish Binyamin.
Yeah.
Don't have the other one? No, the other one's clearer. The other... Okay, so you... No.
I'll get you one.
No, this...
One right there on the table.
Oh, my God.
Thank you. We just want to take away stuff from the ladies.
Okay, we'll give it back. Anyway.
I'm an Indian giver.
Okay, so if you see...
This right.
Okay, you see where... Yerushalayim is in the Chelek of Binyamin. Yeah? Geographically, it's in the Chelek of Binyamin. Nevertheless, it still not belongs to Binyamin. Mm-hmm. Like we said last time, it's Irsha Chura LeYachtov. It's a separate city that's not under any Shevet, even though geographically it was in the Chelek of Binyamin. And there's a reason for that, because Binyamin didn't sin in the Shvatim selling Yosef as a slave. Mm-hmm. So therefore it says Binyamin merited that he should be the geographical host of Yerushalayim, even though, again, Yerushalayim did not officially belong to Shevet Binyamin. So you have where Shimon and Yehuda...
There was no Yerushalayim at the time.
When they... Well, Malki Tzedek Melech Shalom. There's Yerushalayim all the way in, all the way back. Okay, so you see, all the on the left, you have Gaza, Ashkelon, Ashdod. That's all part of Eretz Yisrael. Aku, Tyre, all the way to the north. Okay, the others, it's Eva Yarden, that's the land of Edom and Moab. And, okay, this you see in the east. Okay, that's basically... What? Yehuda goes down. Yehuda's in the southern part. Seemingly, that's what it shows on the map. Okay? But this is the way the Shvatim were divided up. But you see, Reuven, Gad, and Chatzi Shevet Menashe had on the eastern side of the Jordan River. You know, that's where you have Yehuda, that's where Chevron is in the Chelek of Yehuda.
Where is Yehuda?
In the south.
The purple in the south.
Gaza,
Judah. Oh, okay, Judah, okay.
And Gedi, Bethlehem, Chabra in Gerard, which says, you know, the Jews were in Gerard, which says in Chumash, Yitzchok and Avram camped in Gerard. Then you have the Yam HaMelech, the Dead Sea, all the way on the south. That's Yam HaMelech, which the Torah is going to speak about soon also. You see, Yerichai was also, Gilgal and Yerichai seems was in the Chelek of Menashe, it looks like.
Why Menashe is so big and so
big? I don't know, that's what I'm saying. I don't know if that was because the map is not
to
Menashe? Well, because Chotzi, Reuven got in half of Menashe, got in the eastern side.
Higher than to Menashe is not connected, I guess, is there? Okay.
It was a Pia Girdle. It was all based on the Girdle, so that's where the Girdle came out.
So, take all this empty space, which is part of modern Israel, is not really technically Israel?
Eilat, Lamashul, is not in the halachic biblical boundaries of Eretz Yisrael.
Does that have any halachic ramifications?
It does. In fact, Rashi says, why is it, we're going to start learning the boundaries. Yeah, Rashi is going to say, why is the Torah saying the boundaries? Because we need to know there are certain mitzvahs that are dependent on Eretz Yisrael. Truma, Meiser, Shemitah.
So if you buy fruits from Eilat, then you don't have to worry about
it? No, but there's rabbinic obligations in Eilat also. But I'm just saying that biblically Rashi explains we need to know the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael because we need to know which mitzvahs apply. Shemitah, I mean the Damid Yovel, and all that. And also, like we said last time, anything that belongs halachically to Eretz Yisrael, you're not allowed to give back, even if there's no security issue with it. You're still not allowed to give it back. Okay, now that we have this map, and not that it's going to help for this too much, but let's start learning about the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, 922 at the bottom. Perek Lamed Dalet. By the way, you can take these home if you want. Vayidaber Hashem al Meisha Lema, Hashem spoke to Meisha. Tzavaz B'nai Yisrael command the Yidin. Vamarta Aleim, you should tell them. Ki atem boim al Eretz Kanaan, when you come to the land of Canaan, Zeis Ha'oretz, this is the land that I'm going to be telling you. Asher Tipol Lochem Benachalo, this is going to fall to you as inheritance from Avram Avinu. Eretz Canaan L'Gvul Yisrael, the land of Canaan, according to its boundaries. So the Torah is going to tell you, this is the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, this is the land. By the way, we mentioned this once in the past, just Derech Agav, when Avram Avinu bought Maaros HaMachpelah in Hebron, he paid Arba Meir Shekel Kesef. Okay? So according to Acheshbin, when the Torah speaks about redeeming land, there's Chamishim Shekel. You have to redeem a land, okay, which is, I think, I forget how many, but it doesn't matter because if you know a little bit of math, we'll figure out in a second. There's a cheshbon in the Torah, you have to redeem a certain base cord for 50 shkolim, the Torah says. If Avram Avinu paid Arba Meir Shekel Kesef, the Mefarshim make a cheshbon, so it's 8 times 50, correct?
400.
If we paid 400 shekel. So, if X amount of land is redeemed for 50 shekel, this is 8 times that amount. 8 times the amount of 50 shekel that you redeem a certain size land comes out to be 600,000 square amos. So, if you figure 8 into 600,000, it's... No, what are mathematicians? 8 into 600,000.
48.
Okay, whatever. Where's the calculator? Okay, anyway. So they make a cheshbon, that's a Pnei Achroza, makes a cheshbon, that according to the amount that Avram Avinu paid, why did he pay so much money for Maaros HaMachpelah? Because Avram Avinu had a deeper kavana, he wanted to buy one amma, by an amma, square amma, for every single Jew.
Wow.
So 400 shekel kesef paid for 600,000 square ammas. That means Avram Avinu bought Eretz Yisrael, not only is it given as inheritance, but Avram Avinu bought it. And the same thing we find interesting, Avram Avinu bought Maaros HaMachpelah, even though Al Pidin, he didn't have to because it was his. Eretz Canaan was going to get to him anyway. Dovan HaMelech, it says in Malachim, bought from Aravna. The Rambam brings on, he bought from Aravna Yerushalayim, even though it belonged to the Jews. But he bought it off from the Goyim that there shouldn't be any question that this belongs to the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
That they can't come along and say, we have it, and we're also children of Abraham, you know, Yishmael, and therefore we also have a chelek as inheritance. There's certain things that, like this unique place of Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, the Beis HaMikdash, Chevron, Marsa Machpel, all that, they bought for cash that there shouldn't be any questions, that the goyim should be able to come and say later that it's ours, we inherited it. Okay. So he says like this, the Torah starts from the south. The southern side of Eretz Yisrael be from the wilderness of Sin, Edom, on the side of Edom. That would be your southern boundary, Miktzei Yam HaMelech Kedma, from the salt sea, the Dead Sea, right, the Dead Sea, to the east. Okay, so even if you look at this map, the Dead Sea, this is the southern, all the way from Edom. So now the boundary went from the end of the purple, right, east of the Dead Sea. Because the Dead Sea is on the southern part of Eretz Yisrael, Yam HaMelech. It's on the southern part of Eretz Yisrael. So this eastern side, all the way down to the country of Edom, was what was the southern boundary of Eretz Yisrael. And then he says, Anosam Lachem HaGvul Minegev, then the border should go around the south to Malei Akrabim, the Avar Tzin and pass through Tzin, the Hayu Teitzav and the outskirts should be Minegev LeKadosh Barnea, south of Kadosh Barnea, the Yotzer Chatzar Adar VaVar Tzmeina. It should go to Hazar Adar and pass through Azmein. I don't know if you're going to see that in this map because I don't think this is. I don't think it's good. That's what I'm saying. We're not going to see this on these maps of what it is. But that's, he says, now, then the pasuk says, V'nosev agvul, and then the boundary goes from Atzma to the stream of Egypt, V'yotaytseisev ayama, and the stream goes into this, towards the sea. Ugvul yam, what's the western boundary? V'yolachem ayama gadol, the Mediterranean, as you see in these maps, that would should be the western boundary. So the western boundary of Eretz Yisrael is the Mediterranean. Okay? The south is from Edom, from the, near the Dead Sea, Yam HaMelech, and the western, the whole Mediterranean. So everything up to the Mediterranean belongs to Eretz Yisrael. The biblical boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. What?
It's Midbar Sinai?
No. No, it's a different place.
Didn't we say the other week that it was Sin and it became Sinai once it received...
Yeah, but that's not what he's talking... I don't think that's what it means here. I don't think so. Maybe. I don't know. Okay, then he says like this. What's the northern border? From the Yama Gadol, which again it means the Mediterranean. To Solochem, Herd a Herd, you should go towards Herd a Herd. Now, Herd a Herd, from Herd a Herd, you should go, turn to come to Hamas. V'hoyu teitzeis v'agul tzedada, and outskirts of the border shall be toward tzedada. V'yotza agvul, whatever, because I don't, you know, you have these places on the map, it's hard to really, to figure it out exactly what he's talking about. V'yotza agvul zefreina, the boundary should be zefreina. V'hoyu teitzeis v'chatzar einon, and the boundaries would be chatzar einon. That should be the northern border. V'savisam lochem kvul kedma, and then you should draw yourself as the eastern border, Mechatzar Einon Shfama, from Chatzar Einon towards Shfama, which is obviously on the eastern side next to the Jordan. V'yoder Agvul Mishfama Rivla Mikedem La'ayin, it goes down to Kedem La'ayin. V'yoder Agvul Mochal Kesev Yam Kineres Kedma, and it goes to the bank of the Kineres Sea to the east. The border shall come down to Jordan. The outskirts should be the salty sea, Yam HaMelech, and that should be the land according to the boundaries. Okay? So basically the Torah is just telling us where the north, east, southwest boundaries of Eretz Yisrael are. These are the lands. By the way, there's another interesting thing. You don't see it so much in this picture or on this picture. But the northern part of Eretz Yisrael and the southern part sticks out further than the northern part. So what the Pasuk is also saying, you draw a diagonal line from the north down to the southeastern part. Yeah. I mean, the western part, I mean. Okay? And all the islands in that line also belong to Eretz Yisrael. If you look on your pictures, you see... Huh? Whatever islands, as Rashi says, any island that goes through this, there'll be a line that comes like this.
Like Gaza or Ashkelon? Or
no, Ashkelon's not actually... Ashkelon is in Eretz Yisrael itself. But... huh? That's what Rashi says. The islands that belong in that stretch, because if you draw from Tyre all the way to the south where the blue line goes, okay, then you're going to be drawing a line diagonally. It's going to go over the ocean, over the Yam, over the Mediterranean. So any islands in that imaginary line also belong to Eretz Yisrael.
And any oil drillings.
Oil drillings belong to the Jews anyway.
Everywhere. Now it's starting to dig in now.
Yeah, it's starting to dig. They should keep digging. The power in Moshe Rabbeinu made the wrong turn.
No.
When he's taking the Jews into Eretz Yisrael, he turned the wrong way. Turned the other way without all the oil. Okay. So these are the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. So now it says like this. Ve'itzav Moshe Esbnei Yisrael, and Moshe Rabbeinu commanded the Jews. And he says, Zeisa Oretz, this is the land, Asher Tisnach Lo Eisa Begoydol, that you should divide with the lottery. We learned before you do it lottery, and based on Seichel. You know, the more you have, the more you get. Asher Tziva Hashem Lo Seisa Tishas Amatis V'chatzi Amatim. So he's saying, this whole boundary of Eretz Yisrael, west of the Jordan, this is divided up for 9.5 tribes, the Pasuk says. Because the other two of the Pasuk continues, because kilok umati bnei Aruveni leveisa veisam umati bnei Agod leveisa veisam v'chatzi mati menashe lochu nachlosam. Okay, the 2.5 tribes took the nachlosam ever a yardein kedma mizracha, east toward the sunrise. So he says, this land of Eretz Yisrael that I'm giving you now is the boundaries that we just mentioned. That's all for the 9.5 tribes, because the 2.5 tribes took on the eastern side of the yardein. Right, the yarding is that long line in the middle that goes from the top all the way down to the Dead Sea. That's the Jordan River. That's the yarding. Now, there's one question over here.
Is this map? Is it like today's Israel? I mean, is that
no?
Getting bigger.
This is the 12 tribes of ancient Israel. I told you, I tried getting a map. Well, I asked Mendel to try to get a map online.
Okay.
Of present-day Israel with the boundaries of Torah the way it works.
Right.
But he couldn't find one. That would be interesting, because then you see clearly what part of modern-day Israel is actually Eretz Yisrael. Like we said, Eilat al-Pidin is not Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, many firm Jews in Eilat keep 2 days Yom Tov. I mean, not too many Jews in Eilat keep anything.
There's no there.
Anything Jew, I'm saying. But a lot of from people in Eilat keep 2 days Yom Tov, because it's not in the Gvul of Eretz Yisrael.
Is that clear cut? Everyone agrees to that?
Well, since when will Jews agree on anything?
Is there prominent
opinion? I'm sure there are. I know the Chabad guys there keep 2 days, that I know. Because it's not Alpidin, it's not Eretz Yisrael. But I tried this way. I asked him, I bugged him, I made him crazy. I wanted to see a map of the modern day Eretz Yisrael with the countries around it, with the biblical boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, to see part of the other countries can halachically be part of Eretz Yisrael.
Last week,
what?
Bring it here next week.
You If you find one, Adrabah. Mendel was looking on Google. He couldn't find. I also looked on Google.
Last
Can you imagine? I was looking on Google.
Last week.
That itself is crazy. That's a miracle.
That we didn't find it.
But
last week he told us if some boundary is not belong to the map, it still belong to Israel. They shouldn't give it back.
That's it for security, I said. If something doesn't, like the Sinai Peninsula, yeah? Mm-hmm. Halachically is not a chelik of Eretz Yisrael. It's not. So therefore it doesn't have Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. The only reason why the Jews would not be allowed to give it back, because they needed it for security. Besides the oil that was there. There was mamish, it's a buffer zone from the Arabs, and they're giving it back. But that's a different, that's not, I told you, it's two dinim. There's the din of Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, and then there's a din of Pikuach Nefesh. It's two separate dinim. Here, if you look on page 925, okay, look in footnote 6. Hayama Gadol Gvul, he says, the islands off the mainland too are part of the land. That's what Rashi says. Because if you draw a diagonal line from the top of Eretz Yisrael to the bottom, okay, the end of the purple, then they're part of the Mediterranean is actually part of Eretz Yisrael. So Rashi says, all the, I don't know what their names are, but all the islands that are in that chelik belong to Eretz Yisrael, have a din of Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, in the Mediterranean.
No, it's Kafrisin and all those islands, isn't it?
I mean, are you asking me? I don't live in Israel. I didn't live in Israel. As the Israelis.
And where is Lebanon here on the map?
Tyre is on the border.
Tyre is north of Tyre is Lebanon, no? Mm.
Yes.
That's a city on the sea. Where is Lebanon?
Right above.
North it. No, this is only the biblical Eretz Yisrael. They don't show you the...
Okay.
Now, there's an interesting question. One of the boundaries over here of Eretz Yisrael is Kadesh Barnea.
Uh-huh.
If you see on the second line of the top, Negev leKadesh Barnea. Right? So there's a very interesting question asked, the Mefarshim asked, and there's two opinions in the answer of the Mefarshim. When Moshe Rabbeinu sent the spies... He sent them from Kadesh Barnea. Now, if Kadesh Barnea is in Eretz Yisrael, that means Moshe Rabbeinu went into Eretz Yisrael.
How do we know about this place?
No, because later it says
no,
sent them from Kadesh Barnea.
How do we know about this place?
Here the Torah says Kadesh Barnea is a part of Eretz Yisrael. Yeah? And then when Moshe Rabbeinu sent them at Aglim, it's probably later on.
But I think Kadesh Barnea, it is in Sinai. So if you said that Sinai,
1 second. So some Mefarshim learn like this. Some Mefarshim learn. They bring down the Arachim and they bring down that some opinions say there were two Kadesh Barneas. There was one that in Sinai that Moshe Rabbeinu sent from the Midbar. From there he sent to the Meraglim. And the other one was Takan Eretz Yisrael. Some of them learn here. Tosis brings down Tema Laharav Bukhor Shor. The Hocha Mashma Kadesh Barnea Hoysim Eretz Canaan. Right? But Moshe Rabbeinu didn't go over the Yarden, and from Kadesh Barnea he sent the Meraglim, because it says B'shiluach Aysam Mikadesh Barnea. So Tosfos asks, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't go into Eretz Yisrael, and Kadesh Barnea says the heroes in Eretz Yisrael, so how did he do it? So if it nearly the three Kadesh Barnea have him. There are two. One was Yeshua and one was in Moshe Rabbeinu's time. And some people learn interesting things. Other Mefarshim, they bring down, other Mefarshim learn that Kadesh Barnea was in Eretz Yisrael. It was completely uncivilized, and therefore they didn't even realize that the Jews were there.
Page 923 on the map, it looks like it's down in the Sinai area.
There is any Jewish before they moved to Israel?
No. Now they bring down another interesting point. The Me'am Leiris brings down another interesting point. I don't know, he doesn't bring down from anybody, so I don't know if it's his own or not. He says, Eretz Yisrael, if you look at it, was on all four sides surrounded by water. The Yarden on the east, right? The west was the
Mediterranean.
The Mediterranean. And somehow south and north, he says, were also, I think, was the what's on the Kinneret is on the north, no? Anyway, whatever. So he says, it teaches us that when you go into Eretz Yisrael, you have to become pure with the mikveh. You have to, the boundaries are Eretz Yisrael, surrounded by water, because he says, Shekol haba mechutz haaretz Eretz Yisrael, tzarech letayet atzmi tchila velidvil, and then you can go into Eretz Yisrael. Okay, this is what he says. Okay, so now, the pasuk continues like this. Okay, 9:26. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe leim, Hashem spoke to Moshe. Eile shmeisu anoshim ashi yinchalu lochem esoret. Now we learned before that they needed to have the heads of the shvatim, the leaders, to divide the land, make sure everybody gets what was good. Like it says, everybody was bereder chelik yofe, and they were the shluchim to make sure everybody gets the proper land. So, who were the main two? Elazar HaKohen, Yeshua ben Nun, right? Because Aaron passed away, Moshe is passing away. So the two were the heads. V'nasi echad, nasi echad mimata. And one leader of each shevet you should take. Lincha l'sardis, to help you divide up the land for each shevet. So each shevet's nasi was in charge of dividing the land for his shevet. Ve'el shmeisu anoshim, these are the names of the people. L'mata Yehuda, Kalev ben Yefuna. Famous Kalev ben Yefuna. L'mati b'nei Shimon, Shmuel ben Amiud. L'mati v'nyamin, Alida ben Kislein. L'mati b'nei Don Nasi, the head of Don was Buki ben Yogli. L'fnei Yesiv, l'mati b'nei Menashe Nasi was Chaniel ben Eifed. L'mati b'nei Ephraim Nasi, Kumuel ben Shifton. V'zvulin was Alitzofen ben Parnoch. L'mati b'nei Yisachar Nasi, Paltiel ben Azon, for Asher was Achiud ben Shlemi, Amen Naftali, Nasi Pedal ben Amiud. Okay?
There was nothing for
Levi didn't get any division.
Levi guys would,
tax collector.
What's interesting over here,
yeah,
it's so funny, you read through the Psukim and then you look at the Mefarshim and say, by everybody it says the word Nasi except the first three. It says, L'mati Yehuda Kalev ben Yefuna, L'mati b'nei Shimon Shmuel ben Amiud, L'mati b'nyamin Alida ben Get, doesn't say the word Nasi. By all the others it says, Mati b'nei Don Nasi, 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 all the except the first three. So they said, why? Why does the Torah say Nasi by all the other nine, but not by the first three? So there's an interesting Aruch Chaim brings down, and he says, okay, so he says, it could be, first Aruch Chaim answers simply, because the Torah just said the word Nasi, Nasi, Nasi before. In Pasuk Yud Ches, right, it says Nasi Echad, Nasi Echad. So it's understood in Nasi. But after the first three, the Torah has to tell us Nasi again, which is, but then he says, and this Rabbeinu B'chai also I saw brings down, but he brings it down the name of them, this and going, he says like this, Yehuda, you don't have to say Nasi, because Malchus came from Yehuda. Malchus came from Yehuda. So it's understood that he's a, you know, leader. Shimon, it said, didn't deserve the word Nasi, because Shimon's Nasi was the one with the Shiksa. Right? In the Pinchas story.
Yeah.
Okay? He was the Nasi of Shimon, so they don't deserve the word Nasi over here. And Binyamin, he says two things. First of all, the first kings came from Binyamin. Shaul HaMelech and Ish-Bashis, before David HaMelech. The first two Jewish kings came from Shevet Binyamin. So you also don't have to say Nasi, because it's understood that that's Malchus. So he says Shimon didn't deserve it. Yehuda is Nasi, Binyamin is Nasi, And he says like this.
It's key.
And Shimon is another interesting thing. Not Shimon. Binyamin, when it says Ali dot ben Kislein, the Mefarshim write that was Eldad and Medad. Remember in last week's parsha we read when there were Shivim Skenim and Meshe Rabbeinu, because there were six lots. Right? Hashem told Meshe in last week's parsha we just read. Hashem said, "Tom Meshe Rabbeinu, get me 70 elders." So Meshe Rabbeinu said, "I got a problem, because 12 tribes into 70 is not divisible." Okay, so what did he do? He picked six for each tribe with two blanks. Right, that's what he picked. He picked. How did Meshe Rabbeinu make Rashi says last week's parsha? Yeah,
72 names then, but you know.
72 names, but two were blank. Right. What happened with Eldad and Medad? There were those two names. And Hashem gave him Nevuah anyway. That's why the Nair came and said, Eldad and Medad ben Nisnab ben Machane, because they weren't part of the 70. They were in the Machane with everybody else. Because they weren't part of the 70, but they had Nevuah anyway. So they write, Elidad, in the Shevet of Binyamin, Elidad ben Kislein is really Eldad. You know, Eldad and Medad. So they write, so they ask, why is there a Yud in his name? So he says, he's supposed to say why there was an extra Yud. Somebody else says why there was an extra Yud in Elidad. When his name was really Eldad. One second. And this is what Dara Chaim writes. Well, I don't remember why the Yud is there. But he says, so Eldad was... This is a little difficult to understand, because according to this, Eldad came from Shevet Binyamin. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Who was this Eldad and Medad guys? I said it in passing. No, Eldad and Medad at Matan Torah, Amram and Yocheved had to divorce. Because there's an aunt with a nephew, is not allowed. But Amram took Yocheved doidase. An uncle is allowed to marry a niece.
Are we talking about Moshe?
Yeah. Moshe's parents.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amram married Yocheved Doidase. After Matan Torah, a niece, a nephew cannot marry an aunt.
Right.
An uncle is allowed to marry a niece. But a nephew cannot marry an aunt. And if he does, the kid's a mamzer. Okay? Like we said, Meshe Rabbeinu, if he would have been born a few years, 80-something years later, he would have been a mamzer. Okay? But before Matan Torah, it wasn't forbidden. So therefore, at Matan Torah, the Medrash says, Amram and Yocheved divorced. And Eldad and Medad, and this two opinions, were either Yocheved married somebody else and had Eldad and Medad, or Amram married somebody else and had Eldad and Medad. Now, if Eldad and Medad were Amram's children, then they were Shevet Levi. How could he be a leader of Binyamin? So this would go according to the opinion that these are Yocheved's children, and obviously then she married somebody from Binyamin. If according to the opinion it says Elidad is Eldad, because in Pshat it wasn't, it was a different guy. There was Eldad and there's Elidad. But if you hold that Elidad is Eldad, right? In fact, that's why they're called Eldad or Medad, Eldad and Medad. Because that's they married Doidase. That's no, the Mepharshim say that in Balaischa when it speaks about Eldad and Medad. In fact, it should be a Daskim in Balatesis in Balaischa.
Parent of Moshe was alive in the Matan Torah?
Amram?
Yeah.
It doesn't say he died. Well, the Medrash says that they did divorce. So obviously, he was alive.
Okay. Because there's no mention about them anywhere in Torah.
Here, it's asking about Tesis. Eldad, this is what he says in Tesis. Yeah. Daskim Maratesis. Eldad Umeidad Achim Meshahayu. They're half brothers of Mesha. Kshednitna Teira Venesra al Arayis, when Teira was given in their forbidden relation became Osir. Pirshu Kulam, okay. Vagam Amram Avi Mesha and Pirish Miyachevid, Shahesa Ishtai. Okay, that was his wife. He wasn't allowed to stay married to her because she was an aunt. Venasi Isha Acheres. And this is what he says. And Amram married a different wife. And he had two kids, Eldad and Medad. Eldad, Eldad, Medad, Medad. Climate exchange, okay. And then he says, Mati Kuntres Medad, Amram, Reb Hill, Shoy Merit Yisrael. The guy writes the following, Ani Hillel, Ra'isi Kever, Eldad and Medad. He saw the grave of Eldad and Medad. Vayukosiv aleihem Eldad umeidad achi adim min ha'av v'loy min ha'im. The whole question that, so according to this, they were Levim. Now, if Eldad and Elidad are the same guy, then he couldn't be from Shevet Binyamin. So obviously, there's different opinions who this Elidad was and how the whole thing came about. Okay, now there's another thing.
All these guys were in charge of splitting the land within the Shevet?
Right. Yes. They were, not the Shvatim. The Urim V'Tumim split the 12 tribes.
Right.
Once a Shevet got its Chelek, then these guys took over and divided the land amongst the Shevet. But it was basically divided based on the ones that left Egypt. If a family left Egypt with three sons, yeah, then, no, if there was one father, right, had three sons, they would get the same size place as a father left with one son. Because based on the families that left Egypt, that's how the land was divided, based on those families. So the way they left Egypt, that's how they got the land.
So you know, now they're bigger or smaller.
Right, didn't matter.
How do you know the data of the when they lived in Egypt? How do you know that? 40 years ago,
they knew the people were still alive. They had Sefer Yuchasin. They had a lineage family. No, it says in Rashi, it says each one brought Sefer Yuchasin. When Moshe Rabbeinu was giving out the Mishpachos, he brought the Sefer Yuchasin. Every person had to prove which tribe they were from. You couldn't just come along and say, "Okay, I'm from Yehuda." You had to prove it. Okay, now. So Rashi says, also in the Gemara and Kedushin, we learned, by the way, the Nasi took the deed to the entire Shevet. And then he apportioned it accordingly, based on Gerdel, more, you know, he gave it out. And he was to do the best that he could for them.
Who was the Nasi?
Huh?
I thought there was a bunch of Nasi.
Yeah, each tribe, the Nasi of that tribe, took over that tribe. These are the ones that Hashem commanded that they should take over the things in Eretz Yisrael. Okay. Now, the leaders of Gad and Reuven obviously are left out because Moshe Rabbeinu gave them the land. They didn't have the leaders giving them the land. Right? So therefore, they're not mentioned over here. The Ramban writes, why are these, bring it at the bottom here, why are these people mentioned in this order? It's like nishtahi nishtahed. It's out with Yehuda, it goes to Shimon, Binyamin, Don, I mean like... So the Ramban learns, they're mentioned based on their personal greatness. The ones mentioned first were greatest. So Kali ben Yefuna was the greatest, then Shmuel ben Amihud was the second greatest, Elida ben Kisun was the third greatest. The Ramban learns, they were mentioned based, the order is based on their... It wasn't alphabetical order. It was based on the greatness.
Shimon, they don't have Nasi, is the greatest? How come?
The person was great. The tribe didn't merit to have the word Nasi, but he, Shmuel ben Amihud, according to Ramban, he was second to Kaleb ben Yefune in greatness. And that's why he's mentioned second. Okay, we're just going to start this now. The Pasuk says, that now the Torah is going to go into... Shevet Levi didn't have a chelek in Eretz Yisrael, correct? They were not given because they were designated for Hashem. Nevertheless, the Levim had to live somewhere. So they had to give, they were given 42 cities around Eretz Yisrael that the Torah says were given to them as inheritance. In addition to that, the Levim also paid, they also had the six cities of refuge. The six Adi Miklat were also given to the Levim to live in. So all the Levim together had 48 cities. They didn't own it. They didn't own the land like the Jews did. They were given the rights to live there rent free.
What happens, Yovel? What's
the difference?
Yovel never left. It was given to them to live.
No, I'm saying if they sold a piece of land in Eir Miklat, it would go back to them, or
it would go back to them in Yovel. Probably, I think so.
Even though it's not technically theirs,
but they were given to it for rental.
They don't own it.
The rental was different. Lifetime rental, and they give them for rent. It's the same. They don't pay anything.
What's different?
It's not their property.
Why the Levim got all the murderers? Why did they have all the murderers? No, Rashi says differently. That Moshe Rabbeinu, there was Eva Yard in 2.5 tribes, and then there was the rest of Eretz Yisrael, 9.5 tribes. There were 3 Ari Miklat in Eva Yarding, and 3 in the whole 9.5 tribes. So the Rashi brings down from the Gemara, why 2.5 tribes had the same amount of Ari Miklat as 9.5 tribes. So it says because there are a lot of murderers in Eved Ayarding, and therefore they needed 3 city Ari Miklat. For the rest of Eretz Yisrael, 3 were enough.
But why did Levim have to be? I mean, they are taking care of Beit HaMikdash. All of a sudden they have all these...
The Ari Miklat was people that killed somebody accidentally. What does that do? Murderers?
Yeah, but it also came with their teacher, came with, you know, other people went with them. It wasn't just the person.
No, he says another benefit they bring down. Why did Hashem want this Ari Levim spread out throughout Eretz Yisrael? Because he wanted the people to learn from the Levim. The Levim were like the holy rollers.
Were some of the 42 cities on the east side of the Jordan?
I don't think so. I think they're all given in Eretz Yisrael.
Okay.
But it doesn't even say in the Chumash which one were the 42 cities. I don't even know if it says where it says the names of all the 42 cities that the Levim had. But then the Torah goes into another thing. The Torah describes the city as interesting, and this is a whole machlek, we'll get there next week, more details. But the cities of the Levim, they are the actual cities, and then they have 1,000 amas around the city just for beauty, that nothing was allowed but to be grown. Nothing was allowed to be cultivated, no buildings. And then the 2,000 amah, that they were able to do things, grow things. And so the Levim actually had very nice cities.
They are contests, so lord of something, huh?
They're what?
They are what, like it's lord, you know, something like... England, you know,
what are you doing here? You should be over there.
The Levim were broke. by the way, the Kohanim were rich and the Levium were broke. The Kohanim had Chod Dalim Matnas Kuna. They got the first shearings. They got the Chala. They got the Truma. They got the Levium got Meiser. What are the only thing the Levium got was Meiser. Nice. And from that, 10% they had to give Truma's Meiser to the Kohen. So what were they left with? They didn't work.
They say that in their cities, the 40th city, they could rent the places.
They could rent places, they could do business. So they couldn't own land because it's something like this. Eretz Yisrael is an agricultural country.
Right.
The business was agriculture. Except Zvulun, you know, they went to Chof Yamim, they went to neighboring countries. The Jews basically the agricultural economy.
Mm-hmm.
So the Levium, Hashem said no. But the Levium worked basically 2 weeks a year, besides Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, the Gimel Regalim, because there are 24 Mishmeres that David and Shlomo divided the Kohanim. Okay? The Kohanim and Levium were divided into 24 groups. Okay? Each one worked a week. Now, if there's 24 times 2 is 48 weeks. Okay? Then you have the weeks of Shavuos and Pesach and Sukkot, which is another week. Okay, and the Jewish calendar is not 52 weeks because it's only 354 days. It's the 11 days less. The secular calendar has 52 weeks. But this is 11 days less. So then it's only like, how many weeks? 48, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay? So basically, the Levium worked 2 weeks a year in the Beis HaMikdash. The rest of the time, they're able to play cards. I don't know, whatever they wanted to do.
Poker.
You know,
they play
poker, pool.
Blackjack.
Huh? God. No, so they're able to do business. It wasn't, they're only forbidden to own land. But they were broke anyway. Shimon, it says, was broke. The tribe of Shimon were broke. They were Sofrim and, you know, those types of things. And certain Jews of Zvulun was very wealthy.
They were the sailors, right?
Yeah, that's why Zvulun was next to the...
They're not even on the coast.
Huh?
Fish market.
Yeah, but it seems... Yeah, Chof Yam and Mishkin, but it's interesting because according to this map, Zvulun was not on the sea.
Dan
was on Menashe, Osher...
Yes.
You mean from the 10 lost ones?
Yeah.
Huh? Mm-hmm. By the way, Yehuda and Binyamin are the two tribes that were not the 10 lost tribes. The 10 lost tribes are everybody except Binyamin and Yehuda. And Levium. Well, part of Levium, they say. Okay? But so basically, Jews today are Yehuda and Binyamin, unless if you're a Kohen or a Levi, then you come. But otherwise, the assumption is Yehuda or Binyamin.
You're coming king from.
Now, what's going to be with the Aseret HaShvatim, who they are today, where they are today, that's debatable all over the place. Who the Aseret HaShvatim are. One place says they're on the other side of Sambatian. So where's the Sambatian? Some people want to say that the Bnei Yisrael, the Indian
God.
Jews that were called the Bnei Yisrael, they're the Lord. It's a whole, nobody, basic bottom line is nobody knows where the Aseret HaShvatim are. The Mashiach comes, everybody will come back. What are Mashiach's main roles? Will be to cleanse the Jewish people. It was kosher, it was not kosher. Who's a mamzer, who's not a mamzer, who's Jewish, who's not Jewish. It says in the Gemara, we learned in Kedushin, that those mamzerim that are already mixed for generations with the Jews are going to be purified.
Double mamzer, huh?
Double mums. No, I mean, this is, you know, what do you think that, we learned in the Gemara also, what did the Big Bezdin in Yerushalayim do? The main job of the Big Bezdin. They were the ones that sat and decided which Kohanim and Levium are kosher to work on the Beis HaMikdash, which ones aren't. Which ones came from, you know, Yichus of Mishpacha, which one had Mum. because a kohen had to be miyuchas in order to miyuchas mean lineage clear kosher all the way back down in the kohen. So the Bezdin, when a new kohen came, Bezdin had to, the big Bezdin of 71. That's what they did. And those kohenim that were not kohenim at all, they got rid of. Those kohenim that were kosher kohenim but had blemishes, what they did a whole day, those kohenim, they couldn't work on the mizbeach because they were at a mum. But they would sit the whole day and go through the wood that they used to light on the mizbeach, because the Gemara says any wood that had a worm in it wasn't kosher. So what did the mum kohenim do? They would check the wood a whole day, and their shift. Check the wood and make sure there was no worms in it.
No barbecue on it.
No barbecue on
it.
No.